Hey, and welcome to FutureThinkers.org, a podcast about the evolution of technology, society, and consciousness. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. If you're new to the show and you want to get a list of our favorite books, popular episodes, and to join our community, go to FutureThinkers.org/start. All Future Thinkers episodes are now on video. To watch the premiere of each episode and join the discussion live, subscribe to our YouTube channel at FutureThinkers.org/YouTube.
Hey guys, welcome to the second episode of our series on Jungian archetypes. This one is going to be about the warrior archetype. So this is one of the most misunderstood archetypes that are out there. A lot of people associate the warrior with a violent, tyrannical, totalitarian sort of person and don't see any value in the warrior energy. So we're going to talk about basically the reasons that this is a very big necessity in our modern society, how it's missing, why it's missing, and what you can do to actually get there, to manifest the warrior.
Mm-hmm. And actually, something that we forgot to do in the previous episode is to give a more detailed definition of what archetypes are.
Yeah.
So archetypes are they're primordial modes of being. They're kind of these sets of behaviors and drives and energies that people have that are largely nonverbal, and they probably go back to before we had language. But they also have a lot of stories and myths associated with them that developed over time. So, you know, a lot of the time people think of archetypes as kind of literary or narrative characters, but there's a biological aspect to it as well. So the warrior archetype, how would you say it's characterized? What are some of the main characteristics of the warrior?
Determination, discipline, focused energy. So meaning not being able to be distracted by other things, by emotions, by external events, that sort of thing. And a willingness to do what is necessary, to assert your will on the world. That's the big thing. And people kind of think it's about violence. It's really not. It's aggression in the right sense of the definition of the word aggression. So the first part of the definition of aggression is unnecessary force. The second one is making an all-out effort to win or succeed, to be competitive. And then the third one is vigorously energetic, especially in the use of initiative and forcefulness. So those are really the two definitions of aggression that apply to the warrior archetype.
Yeah, and the first one more relates to the shadow version of the warrior.
Yeah.
So the unprovoked aggression, the kind of sadistic, unnecessary violence. And we'll cover that a little bit later. So what are the childhood warrior archetypes? The first one is the grandstanding bully. And so this is the child that deep down inside feels insecure about his own manliness. So he tries to assert it into the world, but he does it in a very aggressive way. So he might bully other people, he might hurt other kids, he might be unprovoked in his aggression, and he might try to dominate and shut down other people just to prove that he's man enough.
Mm-hmm. And it really comes from a place of lack.
Yeah.
The childhood version of the warrior in his fullness, the positive version of the warrior, is the hero. And the hero is trying to be brave and test his abilities, test his limits. But the reason he's doing it is to test his limits and to find his own limits. It's really about the self. Whereas the warrior in the fully manifest man archetype is about applying this energy, applying the willingness to assert will and test your limits for the benefit of something external, for a higher ideal, a higher goal, a higher purpose, something like that.
Right. The hero fights for himself and the warrior fights for the village.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So as that applies to the grandstanding bully, it's like this feeling of lack that the child has because he doesn't know his limits and he doesn't have I would say the courage to...
Well, he doesn't have the wisdom to know where to stop, or he doesn't have the empathy to see how he's affecting other
people. That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other polarity of that is the coward.
Yeah.
So he is too submissive avoids confrontation, conforms to what other people want him to do. And he never ends up asserting his manhood. He never ends up asserting his boundaries. He doesn't stand up for himself or for others. He doesn't test his limits. And so inside, he feels this sense of rage because he's not expressing himself. He's not, you know, asserting himself. And so it ends up coming out in kind of spurts of random rage, violence and bullying. So it circles back to the grandstanding bully. So the two dysfunctional polarities play off of each other.
If you have ever checked out Reddit, the subreddit Nice Guys, this is exactly what the coward one is all about. They see themselves as nice guys, but when they don't get what they want, they go into full-on rage mode.
Yeah, I've definitely met people like that. And so it's interesting because the childhood archetypes can manifest in adult people, especially if they haven't grown up in certain ways. Many years ago, we had this roommate who was this kind of skinny guy, not very masculine, and he was always kind of soft-spoken and trying to be nice, and he was traveling with his girlfriend, and they lived with us for a while. And then one time, I heard him just berating his girlfriend in the nastiest way. I mean, it was just horrible. Like, I was shocked. But in public, he would never do that. So he would, in private, he would be hurting the person that he loves because he couldn't assert his manliness in any other way. So it can get really, really toxic with this stuff.
Yeah. So the warrior in his fullness, what does that look like?
The warrior in his fullness. Well, the warrior energy, he's asserting his will to live, to survive, and to move forward. So that's really the kind of the core of the warrior energy. And then also the warrior in his full manifestation does so in pro-social ways. So he fights for other people. He fights for the well-being of the whole. And so a really good example of this in the modern world is activists who fight for human rights or fight to take down a totalitarian regime. They're not doing it for themselves. They're doing it for the benefit of other people.
Yeah. I find it interesting how the kind of 60s and 70s beatnik peaceful movement has transformed into this sort of modern culture of viewing any kind of aggressive male tendencies as unnecessary, over the top, violent, and basically just distasteful. And especially when they view the masculine warrior archetype as something uncontrollable, like it's that sort of stoic unwillingness to do what you are told to do is viewed as very scary. And, you know, that person is unpredictable and potentially could be violent if we can't know exactly, like if we can't ensure their gentleness.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's also this idea that there is no need for aggression in our day and age, which I think is completely untrue. Especially in this age of having such a powerful Western structure, like everything is so well defined, all of your limits are well defined, and not always for the better good, not always for the good of you as an individual and for society. And the only thing that can change that is pure will, force mm-hmm. of will, a willingness to stand up and fight. I mean, these kind of things, power structures don't move willingly. They don't move from logic. They move with enough force and aggression from enough people. And so this is actually a critical thing, I think, that's missing in our culture, because our culture is basically telling boys and men that they cannot be what they naturally are.
Yeah, that actually reminds me of some of the positive traits of the warrior, one of them being that he is the force of creative destruction, that some things deserve to be destroyed for the greater good. And the warrior is the one who does that. So like I mentioned, for example, totalitarian regimes that need to be taken down or power structures that have gotten really corrupt, things like that, or abusive, you know, systemic abuse of some kind.
There's other versions of it, though, too, where it's just about the self. For example, that movie 127 Hours, where the guy gets stuck under a rock while he's out hiking, and he's stuck there for 127 hours until he cuts his own arm off to survive. That is pure force of will. That is purely the warrior archetype.
Mm-hmm.
He either does that or he dies there. And that kind of strength and will and determination is exactly what it took to get him out of that situation. That's a true story, by the way.
Yeah, it's an amazing movie. So let's talk about some of the positive traits of the fully manifested warrior. Another one that Jason Bourne embodies is situational awareness. So Jason Bourne has this amazing ability to notice little things in his environment, whether he's going to react to them or not. So he might notice which cars, you know, are likely to be unlocked, or maybe somebody left keys in the ignition and he could use that car for escape. He will notice who's carrying a gun, a concealed gun. Like, he will see, you know, how their clothing is different because they're carrying a weapon. He will see how many people are at the bar, how many people look suspicious, how many people are likely to be innocent, and, you know, how many exits are in a room. He just notices all of it. It's like he's always in a state of open awareness meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So the warrior has this trait where he's always vigilant. He's always paying attention. He's always
calculated all the possible outcomes in advance, mm-hmm. and that's how he's prepared. And that's part that enters into one of the other traits, which is discipline and practice. So discipline and skill, just from doing every day, practicing your craft, getting better at what you're doing, just repetition until it's so ingrained in you that it's complete muscle memory, requires no thinking. And applying this to a library of skills, because you've thought about all the different conditions or the outcomes that could happen from, say, you know, an attack or any kind of situation. It could be business as well. And you've prepared yourself by practicing every type of skill that could be relevant to whatever outcome you imagine. That's really what the warrior does, mm-hmm. is, as far as preparation goes. And that's where the confidence of the warrior comes from, is knowing that he's prepared. He's spent the hours to be ready.
Right. And with that also comes humility, because he knows his limits. He knows his boundaries. He also knows that he's not perfect, that he's human. He doesn't have this grandiose idea about himself, this giant ego. You know, he knows he remembers the times that he was defeated, and he knows that that's a real possibility in any situation, but he's going to do his best.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the warrior traditions around the world actually have meditation as part of the training that the warrior goes through, so that they can learn to get to know their mind, then quiet their mind and control it, become mm-hmm. the master of their own psyche.
Yeah, the focus part is a big part of that. So to not be, to not succumb to emotional disturbances, internal or external.
Right, so detachment is a big part of that, emotional detachment. Because if you are too worried about what other people think of you, or you know, what kind of the subtleties are in the social environment, who is uncomfortable by your actions, then you will not be able to execute on your task effectively. So that is something that warriors are trained to have, is this kind of extreme focus at the expense of empathy, which can be used in kind of short bursts. But if it kind of remains over time, then it can lead them to the shadow side.
Which we'll get to in a sec, but there's more traits that we have to cover. So adaptability is a big one. The ability to just take on a different form of thinking when it's necessary and apply that right away, decisively. Being decisive, that's another big one. Like making decisions very quickly, because you've already gone over the plan and the contingencies in your head, and you know what type of action is required in any scenario, and you're just going to take that action. So immediate decisiveness is really important. Loyal, disciplined, and I think that's the remainder of the traits. So you talked about the emotional detachment, which leads to the shadow side, which is basically, for an example, soldiers who go off to war, there's no kind of ritual once they're finished war and they come back to their home life. And all of a sudden they have this like, well, they have this expectation from years of working as a soldier that things work the way they're supposed to when the orders come down from your superior. You are supposed to follow orders directly. There's no fucking around.
People's feelings don't matter.
Yeah. They have to be emotionally detached. Mm-hmm. So they come home and decide that they're going to be able to run their family life this way, or have a marriage this way, or have kids that are going to follow their orders like it's a, you know, they're back in the military. And it just doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm. And we see this also in people who are workaholics that are so focused on their task at the expense of everything else. And so in, you know, in business life, those warrior energy, the shadow warrior energy, can manifest as somebody who is just so invested in their success that they let their whole life crumble. They become so obsessed with one thing. And so there's a quote that goes with this, that a man who is obsessed with his success has already lost. Because you don't exist in a vacuum, in a society. You're not in this kind of, you know, extreme, intense environment like you are when you're at war. You are interacting with people who have feelings and needs, and you can't let that go by the wayside. Yeah.
Yeah. So this particular shadow version of the archetype is called the sadist.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially they are comfortable with other people's pain.
Mm-hmm.
And the opposite version of that is the masochist, where the man has no ability to stand up for himself, no ability to assert his will on the world or with other people, and basically becomes a martyr. And this is obviously unattractive if you're in dating life. It's not the way to be successful in any means. And it ends up reversing over time, because the man who is the masochist in that version of the archetype takes so much abuse, is willing to take so much abuse, and bottles it up and doesn't let it out until finally it explodes and he becomes the sadist.
Mm-hmm.
So these, again, we talked about the childhood versions being linked. This one's very linked as well.
Mm-hmm. And a couple more things to add about the sadist, because it's actually a very common manifestation of the shadow warrior archetype in our culture, because there's so much pressure from the corporate environment to perform. And
it's not even corporate. It's just the job. It's the life of having to work in a capitalist society.
Capitalism, like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's hard to make ends meet for anybody. And, you know, you're forced to be competitive and forced to kind of put morals aside and operate in this, like, environment where you have to basically destroy someone else to succeed.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the Wolf of Wall Street is an excellent example of this archetype.
I'm not saying that that's what I believe either. I do believe that, like, outside of the common scripts and frameworks, you can survive and thrive without competition. I just think, like, in certain environments, and you said the corporate environment, that's exactly the way it is. There's a hierarchy, there's a limited number of spots, and you've got to be as competitive as possible and do whatever it takes to get to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're playing within someone else's framework.
Yeah. Yeah. And so it takes the magician archetype to break out of that and to see outside of the box and to see through the bullshit, which is the archetype that we'll talk about in the next episode.
Yeah. So some of the best movies, what would you say? Hacksaw Ridge, that was another good one. Mm. Have you seen that one?
No.
Yeah, it's really good. This soldier enlists in the military. I think this is after Pearl Harbor or something like that. And he basically, you know, he's riled up. He wants to contribute. He wants to help his country. But he's a conscientious objector. He does not want to take lives. So he's in the military, but he doesn't want to take lives. So he refuses to pick up his gun. And his superior officers are telling him, go home. You do not belong here. And they try all kinds of tactics to get him to quit. Basically, they beat the shit out of him. They try and get him on some technicality where he's not following the orders of his superior officers and he should be dishonorably discharged. That happens. And then, he he gets through on the technicality. He's allowed to continue as a medic, and he ends up saving like dozens of people's lives on the battlefield because he's focused on saving lives rather than shooting people. So that's the warrior archetype in that sort of sheer force of will, ability to be aggressive, assert your will on the environment and on, you know, with other people, but also be of benefit to your team or your society.
Yeah, actually that reminds me of, there's a really good video about the warrior archetype online, and we'll link to it in the show notes, but it talks about how the biggest challenge for the warrior archetype in the modern age is to be able to channel it in pro-social ways and to build bridges rather than keep trying to win wars. Because although fighting for, you know, fighting for your village or fighting for what is right is part of what the warrior does, in the modern world, that might not be always appropriate. And so if you are stuck in this constant cycle of winning and losing and seeing everything as a win-lose kind of, you know, game theoretic world, then, well, it might not work, basically. And it can end up being a shadow manifestation again, because you're constantly battling this monster that doesn't exist, that's really just in your head. And that's something actually that you've written about, is kind of recognizing the villain within, and that you're, if you always have this desire to fight something, then really the dragon is inside of you.
Well, the article that I wrote was actually about modern narratives. And I was just watching all of these superhero movies and thinking like how little character development was going into the villains. How they were just evil for the sake of evil. And I thought about this, like it's kind of a, almost you could say an American propaganda method, where it's like forcing them to think of themselves as the hero and someone external as the villain, and to not require a backstory for the villain. It's just like, you are evil incarnate. I don't know why, but you're evil for the sake of evil. So we have to destroy you. And I would argue those are the most boring narratives, because they have nothing to do with actual real life. And some of the best narratives are where the hero is also the villain and goes out there and battles himself, battles some weakness in himself, or figures out a way to become something better than he was previously. And I mean, a perfect example of this is Fight Club. And that's one of my favorite movies. And like our generation loves that movie. And I think that's exactly why. And some of the best movies I've ever seen are really, they take that kind of hero's journey, where the villain is not the some external character. It's the shadow version of the hero. Oh my God, those are the best narratives. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about before we end this one?
I want to add a note about the integration of the warrior. So I think that's probably one of the more difficult archetypes to integrate, especially in modern life. And so one of the best ways to integrate it is to channel it into productive and pro-social ways. So things that can benefit other people, not just yourself. Because it's really easy to get stuck in selfishness if you're being really competitive. And there are a lot of channels in modern society to manifest that, but there are not as many channels to manifest it in pro-social ways. Mm-hmm. So somebody wanting to manifest the warrior archetype in his fullness, I think it takes a little bit of creativity. It takes a little bit of the magician flavor to
happen. There's a lot of ways you can go out there and kind of experience competition in raw forms. Like you can join a team sport that's physical and competitive. That's a big one. Like take a martial art or something where you actually spar. That's been like the most humbling thing I've ever done, is when I've actually been in a sparring match or gone to a tournament or something in judo. It's like, yeah, there's nothing more humbling and also provoking and that stokes you up than that form of competition, raw competition. I would say you can also meditate. You can do things that challenge you, that scare you, especially. What else would you say?
Yeah, there are some retreats now that do kind of rites of passage or initiation rituals. And I think those can be really valuable. You just have to really do your research to make sure that they're legitimate and aren't hurting people. ayahuasca actually is one of those things that you can do to face a lot of your internal fears and demons.
Right.
That is really valuable. Otherwise, yeah, discipline. Find your North Star.
Yeah, you need a purpose.
A purpose, a set of values that you can align yourself around. Because if you don't have that, then it's really easy to get lost and kind of, you know, work on things that end up not mattering in the long run. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. That's it?
Yeah, I think that's it.
All right. Next one is going to be the Magician. I'm really looking forward to that one because I feel the strongest archetype that both of us are in. So
yes.
Yeah. Lots to say about that one. All my favorite movies kind of relate to the Magician. So yeah, looking forward to that one.
Cool.
All right. See you in the next one.
Bye.
By the way, all of the references, books, more books that we haven't even mentioned, movies, everything's going to be in the description of this video or on the show notes page for this episode if you're listening on audio. So we'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Qualia, a nootropic supplement that helps support mental performance and mood. To get 10% off, use the code FUTURE at checkout. And to learn more about neurohacking, visit futurethinkers.org/neuro.
Thanks for tuning in to Future Thinkers. For all the books, resources, and mentions from this episode, go to futurethinkers.org/74. Don't forget to subscribe and hit the bell icon to get notified of new videos. You can also follow us on social media to stay connected. If you'd like to get a t-shirt like the new Make America Think Again, go to futurethinkers.org/store. If you like what we do and you want to help us make more podcasts and videos, consider donating or becoming a patron at futurethinkers.org/support. Also visit our sponsor Qualia and use the coupon code FUTURE to get 10% off your purchase.